Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, Mr. Number 282, Mariology. That God who made the world is the only object to whom human beings should bow. God has not given to any human being the power to claim homage to themselves. He has given to none the power to become an object of worship. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Here we are taught that finite man is not to be placed where God should be. He is not to be honored as a god, or to be bowed down to. Worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. The man of sin is worshipped in the person of the Pope, and his representative, the Cardinal. But God has not given this power to Pope or prelate. The Pope is not regarded by God as anything more than a man who is acting out in our world the character of the man of sin, representing in his claims that power and authority which Satan claimed in the heavenly courts. Satan inspired these men who claim to be Christ's vicegerents upon earth. Prayers are offered to private saints in heaven for many favors. But these men are not in heaven. They lie in their graves until the coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven. Mary, the mother of our Lord, has not been raised. She is waiting the sound of the trump of God that shall call the dead from their prison house. All the prayers offered to Mary fall to the ground. Mary's ears have not yet been pierced by the sound of the trump of God. The question has been asked, Do you not believe that we should pray to the dead apostles and saints? No, for this would teach for doctrine not a thus saith the Lord, but the thus saith of the man of sin, the son of perdition, who opposeth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. When Joseph and Mary found Jesus in the temple, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Pointing heavenward, he continued, Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Divinity flashed through humanity. The light and glory of heaven illuminated his countenance. But they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Christ did not enter upon his public ministry for 18 years after this, but he was constantly ministering to others, improving every opportunity offered him. Even in his childhood he spoke words of comfort and tenderness to young and old. His mother could but mark his words, his spirit, his willing obedience to all their requirements. It is of no use to say, as many writers have said, that Christ was like all children. He was not like all children. Many children are misguided and mismanaged. But Joseph, who was supposed to be his father, and especially Mary, his mother, kept the realization ever before them of their son's divine fatherhood. Their child was instructed in accordance with the sacred character of his mission. His inclination to the right was a constant gratification to his parents.